Good morning.
Good morning.
Again. It is a beautiful day, always a beautiful day. I have many thoughts. We've been having Bible studies on Wednesday evening and in the letters and Ephesians and Colossians, and also we are now involved with one in the book of 1 John. And the theme there in so many of the letters is the deceptions, or someone trying to tear down the gospel is the way it is, trying to make it mean something else, or as we're studying in John, trying to take away the deity of Jesus Christ and who he was. So those thoughts in my mind, we've been in those studies now for a couple of 3 months. It bears upon my mind that we as Christians, and I say we, I'm involved just as much as anyone else, the deceptions and the things that are going on in the world and the false religions that are going on continually, and more of them, trying to change it, trying to do this, trying to do that, and what you don't have to do, and such. We touched about that on our Bible study this morning. That's what I came up with for us to talk a little bit about for a little while. As we read in the book of James there, the first 12 verses, there's just so much good there that is brought out, and the encouragement that James was bringing forth, and to James, and as he's given to himself, of course, as the gospel preacher that he was. We're thankful, Lord, that he can apply this to himself, although we know and realize that Paul and all of them were endowed with the Word of God spiritually from the Lord, but yet they preached and taught that so much. And as they saw these things coming in, so much of the New Testament is dealing with one thing or another. And as I thought about this, even as Christ taught, the Jews and so much were doubting him and who he was, or trying to, I would use the words, get him into falsities with the things that he was bringing forth. But that's what we want to live. We want to talk about this morning. I'll be using some of the verses that were included in the book of James. But my first point is we need to be careful and be not deceived. As James says in the 16th verse of that first chapter, he says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Do not err." And so we need to be embedded in the Word of God, to believe in it. We talked about this in our class this morning, if you were here. We noticed that believing and putting that belief to work, as it would be, have that embedded within us. That is what drives us to overcome. And when we see something false going on, rely on the Word of God. Rely upon God to be able to overcome that. So be not deceived. In Matthew 7:21, it is said, "Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." The Bible declares the obedience to God and his will, and it is essential to our salvation. It is essential to obey that God's will and to know it. If, however, one is deceived, or we're led astray by false teachings, or being led astray is in so many things we can be. But this is, we need to realize the importance of this subject. And it is also seen from 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, and then verse 13. "But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Excuse me. We realize that from the reading in the New Testament. It continually grew and grew and grew. And as we live our lives, we can see the history of how this has evolved more and more and more in the religious world against God, as it would be. And so even today, since my early days of Christian, we had a number of denominations. And I think at that time it was 300 or 400 that was recognizable. Now that is in the thousands, that everyone's trying to do something better to suit themselves, it seems though, and giving God the praise for it. Deception, of course, is not inevitable. The text that we read implies that so much. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Well, and also in John the 7th chapter, verses 16 through 17, Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wants to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority," recognizing the fact that it is from God. As the telephones come upon us day by day by day, trying to sell us something, and a lot of times it is deception, and they do deceive a lot of people to get money out of them and so on, and make it sound real. I have received some of those, seemingly very important, about income tax and this and that and the other. You have to be aware. There's many ways, there's many means of being deceived. And we want to talk simply about the religion that we, and the work of God, the word, and then being in the fold of God as it is. Number one, of course, is sin. Sin is a deception because we talked, well, I keep referring to my class on Wednesday evening, but we talk about that in the very beginning. How Eve was deceived. The serpent found occasion to deceive through the commandment. And so the commandment of God. But he found a way to do that. And he beguiled Eve. And of course, she and Adam both succumbed to this temptation, became unto it. Of course, that's all in Genesis chapter 3. Another thing we talk about many times is riches. And we think about becoming millionaires and all of this, but that is not the truth. That is not the fold of it, because riches, many times, you know, someone will say, "Boy, your family is not too rich." I say, "We're the richest that you can imagine. Don't have to be in money." But aside from that, we obtain a lot of things in our lives that we really want, sometimes we don't need. So becoming self-sufficient, having a good home, a good family, and having the things that you'd like to have, that's not a sin. But let that become an obsession to us. Let that become an obsession to us, and then that overcomes our will to serve God. That we have another God, as I put it sometimes. The claims of riches in Matthew 13:22, it brought out the claims of riches, however, are deceitful. Misusing the scriptures is one that is very prevalent so much of the time in the churches, in church. But misuse the Word of God, misuse the Scriptures to fit our needs or such, this is what we have to be careful of. Standing upon the Word of God, and we can overcome these things. We will realize what's going on and not take that path. Misusing the Scriptures is just like a huckster who adulterates his goods and puts the best on top. I think we've all seen that in the grocery stores. We've seen that a lot of places. I always think about that when I'm buying a nice package of pork steaks or something. Boy, that one on top really looks good. But you get down to the bottom, and boy, you've got a fatty one. Nonetheless, that's the way it works sometimes. We have to overcome those things. But anyway, this is all brought out to deceive. You think you're really getting something that you're not. The purpose in this, of course, someone doing this and doing this with the scriptures is to gain popularity, become a greater preacher, become a greater leader in the whatever congregation or church, so-called church that you would be in. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the word, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." In chapter 2 and verse 17, "For we are not, as so many, peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ." We can understand, as Paul wrote these things, his background, and so much could be brought against him in people's minds. And he flat out put it in the way that we could understand, and those people would understand. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, renounced all of those things that you're bringing up against me, but we're preaching the word of God and in truth. So how do we avoid being deceived in our lives? That is something, as I mentioned, the phone calls and the material that's sent to us and this and that and the other. We have to be aware of it. We have to know what's going on and read in between the lines many times. But we exercise, what I'm saying here is we exercise personal care. And how do we do that? In the Word of God, in the Lord's house, as it would be, the church. Matthew 2:24-4 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no one deceive you." So how do we do that? By listening and searching the scriptures to understand and to know what they say and what they teach. In Acts 17, verses 11 and 12, "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. And also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men." So, let us apply this to our teachings. Reading on in James chapter 1, we read here verses 22 through 24. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." That's strong language. "But he be doers of the word, and not hearers only." How do you do that? You're deceiving yourself. "For if anyone be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of a man he is," or what kind of a man he was. A mirror for the soul. A mirror for the soul. Man's determined curiosity about himself, even his inner self, has always forged him ahead to determine the mystery of his own nature, his reflections of what's inside him and what makes him tick, and of course other things too. This is something that they've always been on. What's inside us? How does all of this work? And we still don't know exactly. Much progress has been made. We might imagine, quote a couple little things here from history. Imagine the great thrill that came into the person, the inventor, that went through the, imagine the great thrill that went through the world when William Harvey, in the early 1600s, discovered the principle of the blood circulation within the body. And even more so, the invention of the X-ray. I may stumble on the pronunciation of this gentleman's name, but Wilhelm Conrad Roentgen invented the X-ray and discovered that, I should say, in the late 1800s. But you can understand the great joy. Now we can see what's going on in there a little bit. And that even goes today. To me, you're going to do something in there on me. Let's find out just exactly what you're going to do. And, of course, now we have the MRIs and all of that. So it's even better. And so that's great. That's good news. We can see the joy that went through the world when these things happened and continue to do so. But what about the soul? That's continuing on. I don't know what that soul looks like. I don't know. I like to see. But what about the soul? We can't see it. We can't invent something to see it with. So some does not believe there is one. You can't see it. It's not there. But no one will ever be able to invent a mirror or anything that we can see the soul. You know why? Because he doesn't need to. We already have that mirror. We already have that X-ray, if you want to put it that way. God has given man one. We have the Word of God. We have the Bible. We can study that, and we know what's within us, our soul-wise, and that to which we believe and such. There is our mirror. We know what's in there. We know what's in there. Why? Because God said so. God said so. So how does this mirror work then? Well, it reveals to us the origin of the soul. Genesis 2:7, God breathed life into this body that he had created. It reveals the ills of the soul. When we study and read and search the Word of God, we understand the things. Hey, I'm doing this, and that's not what the Bible teaches me. What happens there, as it says in John 3:20, evil is brought to the forefront. And evil hates the light of God, the Word of God, the truth. It reveals the destiny of the soul in John 3:21. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God, his faults. And he can overcome those through the Word of God. So, how must this mirror be used? How must this mirror of the soul be used? Something we talk about all of the time. What about our Bible study? Is it really important to come together or in your own homes? Study that Bible and study things out. I've talked to so many people, and I tell them, I said, Bible study and understanding the Bible never stops. I can't count things on my hands, on 10 fingers and more, the things that I was led to believe years and years ago. Some simple little things. But as I studied and studied and studied, I've learned how to study. Don't take things out of context and make your own little thing out of it. But study. Frequently and regularly, we need to study and look into this mirror of the soul. Untidy habits in everyone's life Yeah, I don't think we can leave any of us out. Untidy habits creep into our lives by unplain and ignored degrees. You think about that as we go on, how things do creep in. And I have these ups and downs sometimes in my life. And so this is how we stay on top of it, as it would be. The study of the Word of God and having faith in it. No one can keep up his own personal appearance without frequent and regular use of the mirror. We must check our soul continually against the mirror of God with great attention, understanding how we need to live our life and obey God. But we need to do that skillfully. Skillfully, and this is where the good study of Bible comes in, studying together. 2 Timothy 2:15. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's my comments upon we need to study and study, put things in the right perspective, put it in the right degrees that it would be. The Bible can meet the needs of every heart and every hour, but only when it is skillfully used. No jumping around. That's some of the first things I remember as a small child. My mom would say something, well, now the Bible says, here's what it says, don't do this, and that means this. Well, as she found out later on in study, and I've learned myself, here's one thing I've said many, many a times. You can go through the Bible, and you can pick you out a verse or a couple of verses and prove just about anything you want to. In your mind, you've proven it. So anyway, it's so necessary to skillfully study the Word of God. Don't jump around and find this and this and this. Well, that fits. Boy, that's okay. Obediently. Do it obediently. James 1:23-25. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? If a man does not, a person, a Christian, does not use this mirror obediently, all else will be in vain. Consider one who refuses to correct a defect in his physical appearance when his attention is called to it by a mirror. The spiritual is more important, and especially since the Father sent the Son to give man the divine mirror for his soul. My comment upon this, for if one be a hearer of the gospel and does not practice its precepts, he is like a man who, from custom or by accident, views his natural face in a looking glass without any intention to wipe off the spots that may be on it. But he looketh at himself without taking notice of the spots on the body, and going away immediately forgets what kind of appearance he had, without removing from his face what is foul. But he who, with an intention to correct his spots, looks and cleans and makes his body the clean and presentable work of God that it is. And it is, as we look into the mirror of God's word, we look, observe, and correct the flaws that are of the soul. It takes a careful doer of God's word, and the same shall be blessed of God. So as we conclude, it is not the will of God that anyone should perish. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And it is certain that he will not permit his trusting child, who is doing his best, to be led away, led astray. 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what ye are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Back in James 1:17, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variation or shadow of turning. I hope some of these points, as they do to me, encourage me always to look into that mirror constantly, study the Word of God, and to know what God has blessed us with, a way of salvation, a way of perfection, as it would be, striving toward that. We continually in our lives strive to be as Jesus was in perfection. We know that that's not possible, probably, but yet we know that we climb and climb and climb the ladder, as it would be, toward that perfection. Continue to look into that mirror, the Word of God, and study it, that we would realize when the temptations will arrive upon us, maybe unexpectedly, we don't succumb to them. This is, to me, a strengthening as we read through these different letters and the teachings that were going out to the brethren, the encouragement that it should have given them, and hopefully it did give them so much of the time. And I hope some of these things will encourage all of us, and those that have not become a Christian yet, or encourage you to hear what God has promised us, to understand how he has made a way to become a part of the body of the Lord, Jesus Christ, a part of God's kingdom. This is what we pray for. If that is for you this morning, or if you need to let it be known, we can pray with you, encourage you, talk with you, or take it home with you. You can do this on your own too. That is our invitation to you and our encouragement that I brought forth for you this morning. So let us stand, let us sing.